morning, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Blip. I'm Scott Johnson. It's Monday. Strapping in for a whole new week of whatever the world has to throw at me. I assume you are as well. Let's start it off right. Hey, guess what? Normally we talk about video games the entire time we're talking, but not today. Today we're going to do a little roundup of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And see where people are landing on this thing. All right. So we have some actual scores. And in other cases, we have people just saying, hey, here's what we think of this movie. So here's an example. GameSpot, which I guess is reviewing films now, says this, quote, for a brief moment, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 felt like the worst thing a movie featuring a sentient baby tree and an anthropomorphic raccoon could be. It felt familiar. And then it says it got crazy. They really like it. Guardian gave it 3 out of 5. Says there are, once again, some funny lines, very often driven by Drax, who has a way of oversharing. They talk about other characters that are also entertaining. And they liked it. 3 out of 5 is not bad. That's, what, 75% if you did it by percentage or something? Empire Magazine gave it a 4 out of 5. Says even when the pixels threaten to overwhelm, Gunn, the director, finds refuge in his main characters, and there's plenty to enjoy there. The Hollywood Reporter says the heavy, elaborate action is both plentiful and rote in their geometric design and execution. The special effects feel exceedingly computer-generated, unlike, say, the best space battles in the Star Wars series. The frantic, ballistic parrying here often makes the viewer feel as if he is trapped inside a pinball machine. So they're not as, not as glowing. They did say it's like a second ride in a roller coaster that was a real kick the first time around, but feels a little been there, done that now, says Todd McCarthy of The Hollywood Reporter. And finally, Variety says, the gods of sci-fi spectacle must, of course, be served. And the climax of Volume 2 is exorbitant, rousing, touching, and just obligatory enough to be too much of a good thing. Overall, they liked it, though. No score given. Anyway, I'm excited. I don't give a shit what these people say. I'm going to Guardians of the Galaxy next weekend. It's my daughter's birthday. We're going to go. We're going to eat food. And we're going to watch a movie. All right, we do have video game stories next, so stay tuned. Alright, I got bummer news for fans. Well, I just talked to you guys about this, what, yesterday, maybe the day before? I was so excited because I've been playing GTA 5 again and thinking about Red Dead Redemption 2, which is coming out later this year, and how exciting that all is. And we talked about a mod that has been in development since the PC version hit, recreating the entire landscape of Red Dead Redemption, an entire map inside of Grand Theft Auto 5. You could travel there and, you know, look like what's his name and his cowboy business and get on a horse and do some stuff. I mean, there was even some stuff in there, like, not quests, but what do you call them, missions that were going to, you know, tie into what that game was like. And they've been working on it, so that's what now, 2015, so it's been a couple of years of work. Very high profile mod. It was called Red Dead Redemption V. And they've canceled it. One of the modders, his name is Mr. Leisureware. It's a great name. Explained on the GTA forums that the mod team was contacted this week after the release of a trailer for Red Dead Redemption V, which has now been taken offline, by the way, so the trailer no longer exists. He says this, I know this is a hard pill to swallow, he told Kotaku, but as many of you may have noticed, we did get contacted, and we sadly have to say we are stopping this project. So thanks, guys. We are really happy to see that. We were all so happy to see this, but it's not going to happen. Sorry. I think there's some translation stuff there, meaning he's real sad. Anyway, the party that contacted the mod team probably was Take-Two. They're the rights owner to Rockstar Games' developed series, Red Dead, the Red Dead series. Because the name or game was announced in March, this probably came to them as a bit of a blow, because when the thing got announced, they had to think, oh, maybe we're... Maybe we're in trouble. You know, maybe what they should have done is just been less high profile about this and just said, hey, we're making a cool map and just leave it at that. And then kind of sneak it in, right? But also, I think Take Two and others should embrace this sort of thing. It's not like this is going to harm Red Dead Redemption 2's sales. I mean, my gosh, are you kidding me? That thing's going to be the biggest thing this year. There's no way that there's some people going, well, I've already got GTA 5 and they've got this free mod on here. I think I'll never need Red Dead 2. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, kind of a bummer. But if you're looking for, you know, the official thing, I guess this fall, you will get your hands on the much ballyhooed and excited for game, the Red Dead Redemption 2, featuring cowboys, horses, and the Old West. You guys sick of me talking about the NES Classic and how I can't buy it anymore? Are you tired of it yet? Oh, you're not? Oh, good, because I have one more thing to say about it. It's probably the nail in the coffin, as the kids say. Well, as Grandpa says. Anyway, the NES Classic is back on sale at Best Buy, and you might want to get in line now because this is probably your last hurrah, your last chance to get the damn thing. You're all familiar with what's going on. I don't have to give you any background on this. But the thing's discontinued. They're done. So there's stock coming. This is according to Nintendo directly. And Best Buy confirms. They said in a tweet, tomorrow in Best Buy stores, limited quantities of the NES Classic will be available, plus save on selected accessories. Find a store near you. I guess that's today. So if you're in line right now, you probably knew this news. And if you're not in line, you're like me. I'm almost frustrated to the point where I don't even care. Like, I'm not, forget it then. You don't want my $60 and you can't make it readily available for me, and the only way for me to get it is to camp outside of a Best Buy in a parking lot, then F off. I'll come up with a better solution. And we'll see what you do with your Super NES Classic this fall. And I love the Switch, really enjoying it, but I'm not doing this weird game. I'm going to go get me a Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi. Actually, I have one. I just need to get the thing going. Anyway, go get it, I guess. I don't know. I feel like telling you that is bad advice. Because here's what I think is going to happen. You're going to go there. You're going to get in line. There are going to be a bunch of dudes in blue t-shirts telling you that, you know, they're not going to tell you how many they have. You're going to say, do you know how many you have so I know if I need to wait here? We're not allowed to say, but if you just get in line, you know, that's the only chance, right? And then you get in line and you'll wait and you'll wait and you'll wait. And then you'll get up there and with like eight people before you and 100 behind you, they're going to go, sorry, folks, we're all out. That's the end. Can I put one on back order? No. And then you have people storming out of there pissed. Somebody's mom is doing this for their kid and doesn't understand why this is happening. Oh, my gosh. The nightmare. The nightmare. Maybe I just don't. I used to like the whole stay out overnight and wait for a thing. I did it with the Wii back in the day. That was the last one I did like this. I'm done. I'm never doing that again. It's a freaking nightmare. If you get one, let me know. Scott at frogpants.com. I'm curious how your experience went. And if you tell me you just walked into a Best Buy and they handed you one, I'm going to be ticked. Talk about GTA and how I'm back in and enjoying the hell out of it. Reminds me of yet another series that, well, took a cue from GTA and then kind of put their own stamp on it over time. If you want to go back to a time where it literally straight up sort of copied GTA, some would say it's still the better game. I don't know, whatever. Saints Row 2. And you're like, Scott, what the hell? Saints Row 2, that's an old game. Yeah, it is old. Saints Row 2 is now available for free on goodoldgames.com, GOG.com. This came out in 2008, if you may recall. It was made by Volition. And this was before THQ went out of business. So they were still around doing that. And Yeah, it's more GTA than Saints Row would become. Saints Row became kind of a weird, almost like criminal superhero game, and just got ridiculous, and I embraced that, and I think I liked that. I liked Saints Row 3 a lot, and I think 4 was maybe had gone a little far. But Saints Row 3, I think it was maybe the high point of the series. I really liked that game. It was just enough combination of ridiculous and over-the-top stupid and gritty kind of, you know, street crime stuff. In fact, I think at the time, I was playing Saints Row 3 and got GTA 5 and was a little unimpressed with GTA at the time because it still adhered to a more realistic approach to the open-world crime genre. And I don't know, I guess I appreciated Saints Row's ability or desire to step outside those boundaries. So I think in retrospect, though, I may not feel the same. I think I may lean more toward the head-down, focused approach of GTA, and the other stuff comes off as a little bit gimmicky. I don't know. This is a lot of armchair quarterbacking in retrospect here I'm doing, so don't take any of this to the bank. But anyway, if you want to get some of that action in some form, Saints Row 2 is for free. I don't know where Saints Row 1 is. That was the most GTA-ish for sure. But yeah, if you're into it, 2008, it's not that long ago, all right? So that game sold, what, 3.4 million dollars by 2010? I'm not speaking right. 3.4 million copies by September 2010. It's pretty good. Anyway, it's free. GOG.com. Speaking of .coms and stuff like that, if you want to know more about what I'm doing and what's going on, check out frogpants.com. It's a brand new episode of The Boop and a new format of The Boop Show. It's my regular weekly video game show, which you can find over at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's /boop. Myself, my friend, and co-host Brian Dunaway, who many of you may remember back in the day, used to do a show called The Final Score with me. Well, we're back at it, so go check that out. And check out, more on Anchor. Anchor's a great place to find great content. You can find them on Twitter at Anchor. You can also find the Anchor app on iOS and Android. Details at anchor.fm. The Daily Blip. No, anchor.fm/Daily Blip. There's no the in that. Anyway, thanks guys for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more. I'll see you then. Greetings, travelers, and welcome to the Daily Blip. I'm Scott Johnson, your host, and we're starting things off today with big news for Heroes and Heroes of the Storm. Today is the official launch of Heroes 2.0. I guess effectively the relaunch of the game, but not really. The game's not changing much, but there's a whole bunch of new stuff happening. And if you haven't been following along, the short of it is loot boxes or loot chests, new currencies, the ability to buy and make and craft every skin, emote, banner, spray, all the kind of stuff you'd ever want, I guess. In a MOBA, all part of that as well. And I got in today and had something 50-something chest open, which was nice because I've been a sort of a veteran player for a long time. Ended up with some really good stuff. If you want to watch me open that, you can find that video over at youtube.com/Scott Johnson if you have any interest in said thing or such things. Okay? So check that out if you want to. But anyway, they are having another Overwatch-themed event. This is another bit of news today. So it's kind of on the tails of them announcing the D.Va skin, or excuse me, the D.Va hero. So D.Va from Overwatch heading on over to the Nexus and being playable in Heroes of the Storm very soon. And they did that Genji Hanamura, or not Hanamura, Genji, what's his name of his skin? Oni skin deal a while ago. They're doing that sort of thing again. This time you get a officer D.Va skin, so she looks like a cop. And her mech looks like a big police mech in Overwatch. And on the other side, you get a mount that looks like a police mount. Some skins, some sprays, and some other stuff. So They're doing that all over again. You just got to play some friends or play with some friends in both games, or in Heroes, and you'll get that stuff on in the other game. So here's how it breaks down. I'll be a little more specific so this makes sense. Week one, Oni skin from Genji, the icon and the spray in Overwatch, Oni Genji portrait spray, and Orochi hover cycle mount and banner in Heroes of the Storm. So they're back to giving you that Oni skin again, or that Genji Oni skin. In week two, you get the Officer D.Va skin in Overwatch, Busan police hover cycle mount in Heroes of the Storm. Week three, you get Officer D.Va's icon and spray in Overwatch, Overwatch Nexicon mount, that's what it looks like, a little Overwatch symbol mount, and Officer D.Va portrait, spray, and banner in Heroes of the Storm. And then on week four, you get 10 loot boxes for both Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm. All right? So this whole thing happens over 4 weeks. You need to play at least 5 games per week with a friend in quick match, ranked or unranked modes to secure some of this stuff. Well, all this stuff. Or whatever week you're going to do it. If you want that stuff, you got to do it. It's a no-brainer, dude. Like, seriously. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, that you wouldn't do this. Just get with your friends and play it. Oh, my gosh. Heroes of the Storm, better than ever. Really, really good. If you want to hear more extensive coverage, check out the podcast Core, which you can find at frogpants.com/core. A little show I host with friends John and Bo. We do that every Tuesday, which happens to be today. So go check that out. Give it a listen. See what you think. And spend some more time in Heroes, because loot boxes, baby. Loot boxes. I had a Sega CD, and it was kind of terrible. Excuse me. It was kind of bad. I mean, look, all the games for it were like full motion video garbage. Sewer Shark. You guys play Sewer Shark? Ugh, it was so bad. But we didn't know, you know? CDs were new, compact discs. We didn't know what was coming. We didn't know what they were capable of, but we just knew, oh man, video games, they got to take advantage of this hot new optical technology, don't they? Well, you may remember a little game called Night Trap. It was released originally on the US Sega CD console add-on unit to your Genesis. And it was real bad. bad game. Even worse movie, if you want to call it that. It was a real hunk of turd. Anyway, you can now get a surprise release of this thing. A physical PS4 edition. This is insane. It's getting a 25th anniversary treatment on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One this spring. And everyone is as surprised as you are right now. You were going, what, Scott? Come on, really? This is true. Limited Run Games is the company. Makes sense. Is handling the physical release with 3 different covers. Because it references all 3, I guess, US Sega CD versions of the game. So you can collect all 3. It even has the stupid stripes on the side that the Sega CD games all had on their boxes. Anyway, you can download and listen to the Night Trap theme song for free. Let's see what that sounds like. Here you go. Oh, this is tight. Let's skip ahead a little here. Oh my gosh, dude, that's so bad. Anyway, they were trying to do, you remember this Kickstarter a while back? They were trying to do $330,000 release on money on Kickstarter to re-release the game on modern consoles back in 2014. And that game was supposed to be like a reimagining graphics and stuff from modern day, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this was one of the games cited as the reasons for why the ESRB was created in 1994. It had been rated teen for violence, blood, and suggestive themes, and featured Dana Plato, more commonly known as the sister chick on Different Strokes. All of this is weird, and that's what I'm here to do, is bring you the weird. Thank you. How long does it take you to play through an entire run of Animal Crossing? Keep in mind, Animal Crossing, one of the whole points of the thing is that you go through every season, and then next, you know, winter you get in again and you do the Christmassy stuff, and it's almost like an MMO, that thing. Anyway, well, I think it would take me hundreds of hours, and it did. That's how long I played Animal Crossing. And someone has speedrun the damn thing and did it like in a night. I don't know how these people do this stuff. Seriously. This is a GameCube game, by the way. This is the one he's speed running. And it took just under a day to get 100% completion. So the way that they're marking completion is like, I've got every possible item in the game. I have every thing I can purchase or earn or make or upgrade from Tom Nook or whatever. So anyway, that's pretty crazy. Streamer is, let's see, the first one to do it was OXA101 was the streamer's name. He did it in 70 hours back in 2015. And they, this new guy has cut 10 hours from that. So anyway, if you're trying to do the pay all debts run, that's a popular choice of the speedrunning community. That can take as little as 40 minutes. Dude, speedrunners, they're crazy. Here's just a taste, a little video from the Twitch stream. Let's see what we can see here. Yeah, there he's talking to people, doing his thing, just whipping through it, running, talking to a dude. Talking to a thing, going to a place. He's already done more with Tom Nook in 8 minutes and 48 seconds than I probably did in the first month of that game. That's pathetic. So you can really drive yourself crazy, seriously. If you start looking too deep into what speedrunning is and look at the games that you've played all the way through and think about all the time you spent, you can drive yourself up a wall. Because it represents... I don't know. I mean, I realize they're cutting corners and doing things that's not about enjoying the game. It's not like they're, oh, I played the entire game in an hour and loved it as much as you did with your 300 hours. But it does show you that video games are incredibly small while appearing to be very large. They fool you into thinking, oh, well, this is a huge world. I'll see you in 300 hours. But you could do it in an hour, you know? Like, it's just, that's crazy to me. It's like a weird time folding thing going on. I'm trying not to read too much into it, but there I go reading into it. Anyway, you can learn more about this guy online if you want to search for his name and check it out. Speedrunning Animal Crossing. Who knew? Who knew? If you don't think you've got enough Fallout in your life, well, I have another way for you to spend way too much time in Fallout. There is a Fallout tabletop game on the way. It is called Fallout Wasteland Warfare, and it features art and sculptures based specifically on the game Fallout 4. It's a new miniatures war game coming from Modiphius? Is that how you say it? Modiphius Entertainment? It's a multi-format tabletop publisher with a string of successful Kickstarters before this, so they know their stuff. This might be their first big licensed game. Anyway, there's a teaser image out with black and white versions of the sculpture or of the figurines. None of them painted yet, but I assume some of the fun here will be people painting this stuff. Let's see. They began with the launch of Actung Cthulhu Universe on Kickstarter in 2013. Well, I guess that would be licensed, or would it be? Does anyone own the Cthulhu stuff? Or when he died, does his family now have it all? What's his name? Lovegood, Lovejoy. What's his name? Lovelace. Lovecraft. There we go. Lovecraft. They also collaborated with Matt Leacock from Pandemic Success on the successful Thunderbirds cooperative board game. Well, I guess that's a license too. I'm up in the night about this licensing thing, clearly. Says the game will feature larger 32mm statuettes and include player versus player content, cooperative and solo missions. No word yet on whether or not it will launch as a Kickstarter or go directly to retail. My guess is if they're working at all closely with Bethesda, then it might go straight to retail. But maybe they want to spend extra time or extra money or extra, I don't know what. I mean, who knows? I don't know how this stuff works. If you license out something as big as Fallout, you just say, here you go. Here's the paper. I've signed it. Go make a thing with it. Let us know how it goes. Or do you say, all right, well, here's the contract. We've signed it, but we want to have very close attention to what you're doing. Like, I have a feeling Blizzard does that probably, but maybe Bethesda doesn't care as much, or maybe they do and we don't have enough information, but that's always fascinating to me. Like, what companies are just letting their licenses go and which ones are being very particular and very controlling about it? I think Nintendo, Blizzard, Valve, to a degree, I guess Rockstar, they're all very careful with that stuff. Nobody's going, yeah, hey, come here, I'll give you a Red Dead license and go make a bunch of toys based on the Red Dead universe. If they were going to do that, they would work very carefully with who they would handpick. They'd have to be a certain kind of quality. They'd have to all come up to whatever standards they had, right? It's the impression I get. Anyway, whatever impressions you get, share this channel with your friends and get the Anchor app, anchor.fm/dailyblip. Thank you guys for listening. Be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Hello, everybody. This is the Daily Blip, and I'm Scott Johnson, and I've got good news for toy fans. New Mario toys are now available worldwide with McDonald's Happy Meals. That's right. You heard me right. 8 figures in all available. They're partnering with Nintendo to offer toys based on its franchises of Happy Meals. This is from now until May 22nd, it looks like. They come with 1 of 8 different toys, and they don't really have the Amiibo... quality or the functionality of an amiibo, but they do have one special function. The translucent Mario 4 instance can light up different colors. Whee! This isn't the first time they've done this. The partnership has been together before to bring us toys based on Mario Kart 8, Mario and Pokemon and other games. Now this upcoming Mario Kart 8 Deluxe game, which comes out on Friday. I'm very excited. Mine shipped today. They're making it possible for you to win a copy of that at McDonald's. You make a purchase at McDonald's, you register it with the restaurant chain's mobile app and provide it with one entry for the sweepstakes. Excuse me. You'll see. It says you can simply send one email per day between now and May 22nd to receive free entries. Unless you're like me and have to have the game Friday, so what are you even doing? But if you want to get yourself a Switch, also, it looks like GameStop announced today they have a limited number of stock in stock today. Both Best Buy and Toys R Us will have the system available in limited quantities on Friday to coincide with the launch of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. But looking good all around. I'm trying to decide if this is going to drive me to McDonald's or not. These look like really cheap, low-end toys. These are not Amiibo-level stuff. But I know there are collectors out there. There are people out there that are like, I don't care. Is that Mario and Bowser? Sign me up. Is that Luigi over there? Who's that? Toad? Oh, goodness, I think I'm in, right? Where's Princess Peach? Well, she's right there at McDonald's. Go get yourself a McDouble and try to win. Hack things. That's the rule of the day. If you're a hacker and you hack things, well, it's going to catch up to you, dude. Karma's going to bite you right in the bum. At least that's what's happened to Adam Mudd, a teenager who gets 2 years in jail for hacks against Xbox Live and others. Reportedly, Adam Mudd showed no emotion when he was sentenced in the courtroom. He's a UK teenager. Going to jail for 2 years, like I said, for creating a program that resulted in more than 1.7 million attacks on Xbox Live, Minecraft, and TeamSpeak, according to The Guardian, a UK publication. He created the Titanium Stressor program. This thing is used, I guess, in these reported attacks. He did it when he was 16 years old. He sold the program to unnamed cyber criminals, they're calling them. It seems like something an old white man said. Allegedly earning himself more than £386,000, British pounds. He's now 20 and pled guilty to the charges. That included one count of committing unauthorized acts with intent to impair the operation of computers, one count of making, supplying, or offering to supply an article for use in offense contrary to the Computer Misuse Act. That's a British thing. And one count of concealing criminal property. The presiding judge, Michael Topolsky, He says the sentence needed to have real element of deterrent. He believes 2 years in prison will do that. And according to his words and in this report, Cooper said Mudd was sucked into the cyber world of online gaming and was lost in an alternative reality after withdrawing from school because of bullying. Oh, don't let the adults try to talk about this stuff, please. I'm all for this kid getting busted, but come on, let's not build a little world about getting sucked into the cyber world, okay? Can we not do that? Can we please not do that? He carried out a total of 595 DDoS attacks against 181 IP addresses. Good Lord. Anyway, you can go to The Guardian and find the full report if you so desire. Enjoy prison, young man. It's a lot like the cyber world. Diablo 3's Necromancer is in a closed beta test. I finally got my access. Oh my gosh, I could not be more thrilled. I've said this before to many people. I may not have said it here on the Daily Blip, but my favorite thing about BlizzCon last year was playing the newly announced Necromancer there that they had on display. Since then, they've added all the talents, all the abilities, all the stuff, and it's even better than you think. Anyway, the Necromancer beta test has been updated to include new bonuses and more. In a post on the official website, you can see what those are, I guess. So if you come to the beta in its current form, it does a bunch of changes to skills and passives, fixes the problem with the decay golem, which I have not actually experienced yet, and PTR updates add Necromancer set dungeons to adventure mode and introduce time limits to complete set dungeons to 5 minutes. If you have not been selected... or if you have been selected, I should say, it'll just show up. I didn't have to get a key. There's no, like, weird deal like that. This is just, like, a straight-up flag your account, and you're in, okay? It's real good. It's real good. He feels good right out of the gate. His very first basic attack that refills his resources, essence, is this, like, spiky ground thing that shoots these spikes out of the ground, and it already feels great. Even at level one, that felt great. I'm only a few levels in so far because I just got it, but yeah. Many of you know, some of you may not. Diablo 3 is still one of my favorite games since 2014 when they updated the game to the to its expansion, which really made it one of the best games of all time. I love Reaper of Souls. I love Diablo 3, and I love where they're going with this, and I love the idea that future characters may be on the way. I will gladly pay for them, Blizzard. Anyway... if you're in the beta test, let me know what you think. Scott at frogpants.com. We'll talk to you then. Finally in the blip, got a couple of quick updates for you. Call of Duty World War II release date and first details and stuff have been revealed. They showed all this stuff off today in their reveal. Learned a little bit about the campaign. Graphics look real nice, by the way. So let's start with the date. Call of Duty World War II is launching on November 3rd for PC, PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One console. The release date was revealed alongside the full trailer, which I've seen, and it looks pretty good, I have to say. Does not look like an old World War II game. But missions include the things you might expect, like the D-Day invasion in the campaign, the invasion of Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, all that sort of stuff. Some snow in there, I'm guessing. You primarily play as young, inexperienced Private Daniels in the single player. There'll also be a mission that casts you as a woman fighting in the French Resistance. Wee wee poo poo. The multiplayer reveal is slated for E3, so they haven't shown any of that really, but... not details anyway, but there is some co-op, and again, not many details there as well. That's considered multiplayer, but it will take the place, like I mentioned this before, it'll take place as an original story on top of the game, so it's not just the campaign again. It is in fact a whole new story arc. Activision confirmed the beta will be available ahead of launch. We don't know when that is yet. What we do know is actor Josh Duhamel, however you say his name, from Transformers. I knew him more from, like, that Las Vegas show where he played like a security dude. He's confirmed to be in it, as well as Technical Sergeant William Pearson, a 34-year-old from Oklahoma. It's weird. Anyway, the Pro Edition that surfaced in leaks will be exclusive to GameStop. And in the U.S. anyway, will cost $100, come with the game, steel case, and a season pass, and additional bonus content is all they're saying right now. Anyway, if you want to know more, go check out that trailer. It's pretty good. Oh, and they hinted at zombies. So that's one thing. And then Halo 6 will be all about Master Chief, with no other playable characters. They have decided that, hey, we kind of know what makes Halo cool, and we haven't been doing that for a while, so... The developers over there at Microsoft Game Studios, what are they, 323? Yeah, 323 Industries have said, yeah, we've kind of learned our lesson. We've gotten a little far away from what made the game great, so we're going back to what made it great. The next Halo game will feature Master Chief, and that's it. Not a cast of Master Chief wannabes. It's going to do it for the blip. Thank you for listening. Check us out on the app. That's the Anchor app, anchor.fm for details. We're at anchor.fm/dailyblip. And you can find the app on Android and iOS stores wherever you may find them. In the case of Apple, it's right there. Anyway, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you tomorrow. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Daily Blip. I'm Scott Johnson. It's April 27th, and I don't know, I feel like Microsoft's got some stuff to do, you know, the Scorpio coming out and all that. They've got to up their game. Well, Phil Spencer has addressed that directly and said they are upping their first-party investment, an area that has been a little lackluster for them during this current generation of consoles, Xbox One. Quote, I want to make sure both narrative-driven single-player games and service-based games have the opportunity to exceed. Or to succeed, not exceed. Sorry, the service-based part threw me off. I'm trying to think of a service-based game. Like I don't know. What's a good example of that? Destiny, maybe? Or games you pay monthly for? MMOs, that sort of thing? Anyway, shared a little insight into the future of Microsoft's gaming business as part of a broad-ranging interview with The Guardian, and touched on multiple things, including better support for things like the platform's first-party lineup, like I mentioned earlier, story games, and smaller developers interested in creating service-based games. That sounds an awful lot like apps on a phone, doesn't it? I'm not saying they're making a phone, I just mean, you know, free-to-play stuff. Says, I've looked at things like HBO and Netflix, where great content has been created because there's a subscription model. They're thinking a lot about that. Putting story-based games into the Xbox Pass model could be interesting. It would mean you wouldn't have to deliver the whole game in 1 month. You could deliver and keep delivering the game as it goes. I got news for you. Somebody already tried that, and it seemed like it worked okay. That Hitman's game and its release schedule worked out pretty good for everybody. So he says this, the audience for big story-driven games, I won't say it isn't as large, but it's not as consistent as the more service-based games. He says you have things like Zelda or Horizon Zero Dawn that come out, and they'll do really well, but they don't have the same impact that they used to have, because service-based games are capturing such a large audience or a portion of the audience. I think I agree with that. I hate that I agree with that. I like story-based games. I like big epic tales and narratives, so I don't want them to stop. Probably won't, but anyway, you want to learn more about what's going on? Great interview on The Guardian. Go check it out. Phil Spencer coughing up the details on what Microsoft plans to do beyond Scorpio, beyond hardware, but they talk about the games you want to play, and I think that's important for Microsoft, so good on them. Tekken 7 is on its way, and you don't have to just fight, you know, like if you think it's just going to be you and a character facing each other fighting, Well, it will be that, but it's not going to be just that. Tekken 7 has a third-person shooting and QuickTime event mode. Ooh, boy. I don't know how I feel about this. Tekken 7 launching in June for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Won't be limited to just punching and kicking. There was a event preview session earlier this month, and a few game press were there and discovered there is a full third-person shooting element in the game's story mode. So it's just story mode stuff. So, for example, there's a story involving the character Lars, and you could fire his machine gun at his foe. The camera would switch to third-person perspective during the sequence. We don't know what that means, but pretty weird, right? I'm trying to think of a fighting game where I could actually shoot stuff other than the lightning bolts out of my hands or the shuriken, right? Or the hurricane. Anyway, it's not the only new feature. They also suggest it'll have some QuickTime events. This would be limited again to the story mode, we would presume. Nothing in the multiplayer. At least I would hope so. This is, I guess, in arcades first, but we'll get it shortly after that. Tekken 7 comes home to Xbox. PlayStation 4 PC on June 2nd is the date. And this is a bit of a delay. They were originally supposed to come out in early 2017, so we should have already had this game by now. Are you still into Tekken? Does Tekken give you what you want? Is Tekken interesting to you as a player? Love to know more. Send your feedback, scott@frogpants.com. Tekken. Oh, did you guys also hear Tekken? They got an animals rights group got the kangaroo taken out. I am annoyed by that. Swinging too far, folks. Swinging too far. So you guys, check this out. Capcom had to remove a stage, like a level, from Street Fighter V because of what they are calling unintentional religious references. The new Thailand temple hideout stage has been taken down temporarily while one would presume they are reworking it. It was just days after the release. They removed this new level, this DLC stage, Thailand temple hideout, because it contained what they called, again, unintentional religious references in the background music track. So it's not the actual, architecture or the space of the stage itself. It's the music behind it. They explained that they removed it and conducted an emergency server maintenance to get rid of it and replace the track with different music. You can keep using the stage, you just can't have the music until they're done. The edited version will come out, and it'll have new background music for people to buy. Well, you won't buy the music, just buy the stage. It's DLC. Anyway, it's set in a Buddhist temple. The background music references Allah, and they don't want that, I guess. The Street Fighter V development and operations team, and I quote, "As well as all of us at Capcom, have nothing but the utmost respect for all faiths and religions around the world, and we would like to sincerely apologize to anyone who was offended by this content." The Thailand stage was first seen in very early Street Fighter games. And anyway, it'll be $4 when you can get it again. $4, or it can be purchased with 70,000 fight money points, coins, things. Is that what they're calling those? Fight money? I haven't kept up on the whole Street Fighter thing. Fight money's a dumb currency. Fight money, come on. It sounds like a sequel to Fight Club. Fight Club, Fight Money. Anyway, I guess enjoy Street Fighter. I haven't played it in a while. I don't want to be poo-pooing on it, but they seem to have been having... They've had problems. Launch problems, connectivity problems, content problems, and now music problems. They need your help. A series of Nintendo stories to close things out on the Daily Blip today. Fire Emblem Heroes has beaten Super Mario Run in its profits. These are the two mobile games Nintendo's put out. despite the fact that there are 10 times fewer downloads for Fire Emblem than there are for Super Mario Run. Clearly, the money model for Super Mario Run was not up to the task, or certainly didn't quite match what Fire Emblem was able to do. I mean, really, seriously, 10 times lower or less, but you're making that much more money? Anyway, that's crazy. This is all according to the Wall Street Journal report. It just came out. Between Japan and the U.S., Nintendo made more than 20 billion yen for its smartphone games. Yet Super Mario Run, which has reached almost, 150 million downloads. Jeez. That game continues to struggle with converting free users into paying ones. And I don't know, maybe it's just because this is their first real foray into free-to-play and they just don't know what they're doing yet. They've said it's been hard to get that to happen. The one-time fee of $9.99 has been tricky for them. I did it immediately because I'm weird. But I can understand why people might hold off on that. But on the flip side, Fire Emblem, killing it. Currently sitting on top of the 10 highest grossing titles in the entire iOS App Store. And it's probably partly because Nintendo keeps putting substantial updates and content out, which is nice. It's probably the kind of game that would just generate more content or more money anyway. Because what you're doing is, I don't know, it's a collection game. The Mario game's not. The Mario game's just, oh, here's a bunch of new levels. So here's, give us $10. This other one's like, oh, don't you want to get lucky and unlock one of these chests that has so-and-so in it? Oh, you might get lucky. I mean, loot chests, I think we've established they work. They work well. So good luck to you, Nintendo. Maybe that'll help you design the next Mario experience on mobile. In other Nintendo news, they predict next year's profits to reach its highest in 6 years. They say that's bolstered by strong Switch sales. Looks like Nintendo's on the up and up, guys. We knew they were doing okay. Bunch of them on sale at stores today for a very limited time. Hopefully you guys got one. Tomorrow is Mario Kart Day. I'm very excited about my copy getting in. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And finally, in bittersweet news, Nintendo veteran Genyo Takeda is retiring. He created Punch-Out. He was the chief Wii designer. He had a hand in the GameCube. Not literally. I mean, he helped make it. He didn't put his hand in it. He has been with the company for 45 years. And I think the Punch-Out alone is enough to give this guy props. He's 68 years old. Joined the company in 1971. Worked on the company's arcade light gun title, Laser Clay Shooting. And EVR Racing was his as well. And according to Shigeru Miyamoto, he says the first video game ever released was EVR Race, which he claims was Nintendo's first video game of all time. Anyway, the guy's responsible for Punch-Out. He had, of course, work on lots of other titles and stuff. Did a lot of stuff during the N64 era. It was his idea to build the weird controller for the N64. That was his design. And most of what we got out of the Wii came from him as well. Anyway, they're going to have somebody take his place. Long time with the company. 46 years. 45 years, sorry. That means I was a baby when he joined the company. Weird. He doesn't look 68 either, by the way. This guy looks like 35 to 40 at the most. It's with the Japanese. Better diet, I guess. They just eat better than I do. Congratulations, Nintendo. Congratulations, Genyo. And have a great retirement. And all of you have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow for more of the Daily Blip. Check us out on Anchor, anchor.fm. And you can also find the app on iOS and Android. Get the app. Tell your friends. We'll see you tomorrow.